From ProPublica, prosecutors had a drugs for votes scheme locked up. Under Trump, they were told not to pursue charges. To the narcotics agents investigating drug smuggling in Puerto Rico prisons, it seemed at first like a typical scheme. Associates of an inmate gang sneaking drugs into the prison, gang members distributing them inside, and bank records showing the money flowing. Then the agents discovered something unusual. Leaders of the prison gang known as Los Tiburones, or the Sharks, were selling drugs to inmates not only for money, but for their votes. Specifically, votes for Now Goff. Jennifer Gonzalez-Villan, a longtime Republican and supporter of President Donald Trump, investigators found. To make sure the inmates, many of whom were addicted, complied, the gang's leaders threatened violence and to withhold drugs, the investigators learned. Corrections employees in on the plan looked the other way as the gang, formerly known as Group 31, ran the enterprise. What at first seemed like a routine drug case had turned into something bigger. Puerto Rico, along with just a couple of U.S. states, allows inmates to vote. Puerto Ricans living in the territory can vote in all contests except federal general elections. It is a felony to willfully offer money or gifts in exchange for support at the polls. A conviction carries fines of as much as $250,000 and imprisonment of up to 2 years. Investigators had gathered solid evidence of election fraud implicating both inmates and staff, and they were working toward determining whether Gonzalez-Villan or her campaign was involved. Four people with knowledge of the case told ProPublica. They requested anonymity because they are not authorized to speak publicly about the case. But as federal prosecutors prepared an indictment against the inmates and staff in November 2024, just days after Trump won the election and Gonzalez-Villan clinched the governorship, they received a surprising directive. Their bosses in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Puerto Rico instructed them to exclude the voting-related counts against the inmates and all charges against the prison staff. An investigation by ProPublica found. In December, they filed an indictment charging 34 inmates and associates with crimes including drug distribution resulting in at least 4 overdose deaths, money laundering, and possessing a firearm. And while prosecutors described the drugs for votes scheme in the court filing, they did not include a single charge related to it. Soon after Trump took office, the lead prosecutor, Jorge Matos, was told by a supervisor to take the investigation no further, according to four people familiar with the case. Before the election, it was definitely full steam ahead, said one person familiar with the case. After the election, that all changed. Matos, who left the Justice Department in June 2025, did not respond to phone calls or texts from ProPublica or attempts to reach him on social media. For those working on the case, the decision to scrap the investigation was especially puzzling given the new president's agenda. Trump issued executive orders in early 2025 aimed at eradicating drug traffickers and declaring election integrity fundamental to maintaining American democracy. "We invested so much effort to make a difference," said another person. "We're frustrated, but there's nothing we can do." People close to the case wondered if politics had played a bigger role than law and order. Trump congratulated Gonzalez-Villan in a letter shared at her January 2025 inauguration saying, "I am so proud of your resounding victory." That same month, she pushed to erect a statue of him at the Capitol building in San Juan alongside other presidents who've visited the island. "He deserves that," she said, according to an official post from the Federal Affairs Administration of Puerto Rico on X. W. Stephen Muldrow, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Puerto Rico, was appointed by Trump in 2019 and has served continuously since then. His name appears on the indictment along with those of three assistant U.S. attorneys. Muldrow told ProPublica his office does not comment on open investigations other than in press releases or press conferences. While a couple of the inmates have accepted plea deals, most of the drug and money laundering cases against the inmates and associates are still making their way through the court system. In a follow-up email, a spokesperson for the office noted the indictment was filed during the Biden administration and under the previous governor of Puerto Rico. Charging corrupt public officials has always been and remains a top priority of the office, wrote spokesperson Limarie Lovett Ayala. In court documents tied to a different case, in October 2025, a magistrate judge mentioned an unrelated white-collar investigation involving the governor of Puerto Rico. Muldrow's office responded in a filing, stating, "There is no white-collar investigation or any other investigation of Puerto Rico Governor Jennifer Gonzalez-Galan." Gonzalez-Galan has not been charged with a crime. When sufficient admissible evidence exists to charge persons involved in public corruption, as required by the Justice Manual, the Puerto Rico U.S. attorney's office will aggressively pursue such charges, she wrote. The governor declined ProPublica's repeated requests for an interview and did not respond to written questions sent to her communications team. A Department of Justice spokesperson said in an email, neither Attorney General Bondi nor Acting Attorney General Blanche was involved in any charging or investigative decision in this Biden administration prosecution. The Attorney General's office noted in a statement that the indictment mentioned D. allegations of voting coercion and said, this office did not limit the underlying investigation in any way. In May 2025, in a move that federal prosecutors and political observers alike said was highly unusual, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence seized the voting machines from Puerto Rico over concerns about vulnerabilities, according to testimony in March by Director Tulsi Gabbard to Congress. A spokesperson from the office told ProPublica the seizure was at the request of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Puerto Rico and was not about any election in particular. The goal was to assess risk to this critical infrastructure, given similar infrastructure is used throughout the United States. The spokesperson said in an email, Muldrow had a friendly working relationship with former Attorney General Pam Bondi when she was the state attorney general in Florida and he was an assistant U.S. attorney in the Middle District of that state, according to people who know him. Muldrow didn't answer questions from ProPublica about the matter. Lydia Lizarribar, an attorney for Juan Carlos Ortiz Vazquez, a Group 31 member who prosecutors named as one of the leaders of the drug operation, declined to comment on the case. The Puerto Rican prison system has a long and well-documented history of overcrowding, inadequate medical care, and other human rights violations so egregious that in the late 1970s they prompted federal oversight that continued for decades. The grim conditions spurred inmates to form advocacy groups like Group 31, which was officially created as a nonprofit to lobby corrections officials and lawmakers to improve inmates' quality of life. Over time, federal prosecutors say several of these groups operating in the prisons evolved into violent criminal organizations such as Los Tiburones and Nietas, with memberships in the thousands. The poor conditions were also the backdrop for a push in 1980 by the new Progressive Party governor at the time, Carlos Romero Barcelo, to codify voting rights for prisoners. Inmates have been aligned with the party ever since, political analysts said. Political parties in Puerto Rico differ dramatically from those on the mainland. They don't adhere to a straight divide among Democrats and Republicans. Instead, the two main party,